listening to Good Guys Talk Back with your hosts, Nick Morawski and Pat Hester. Follow us on Twitter at Good Guys TV or on Facebook at Good Guys Talk Back.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome to a brand new episode. It's episode 70 of Good Guys Talk Back. Everything Chicago White Sox. It's fan-centric. It's blue-collar. It's just some Sox chatter with a couple diehard fans. I am Nick Morawski. Welcome for joining us. We've got some big stuff. We're planning on recording something today here on Monday, October 12th, but the news sometimes dictates when a new episode should be recorded, and here we are. Ricky Renteria and Don Cooper have been relieved of their respective duties, and the Chicago White Sox are looking for their 41st manager. Let me bring on my co-host, Pat Hester. Hello.
Buddy, when news breaks, we are on the scene. We are your, you know, we need a sounder.
I'm a few blocks away, so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When news breaks, Nick Morawski's all over it like a hound dog, and we need like a special report.
Just maybe like an AC/DC guitar riff, and that will be the Sox kind of breaking news.
I like it.
Figure that out in the home studio here in Bridgeport. Sir, it's always good to talk Sox with you, but after our last episode, we thought maybe we'd have a couple weeks kind of let things settle here in the postseason and maybe start putting our offseason wish list together. But little did we know, there were some plans probably already being laid out to relieve Donny Boy Cooper and Ricky Renteria of their duties. How surprised were you, sir, when this all started to unravel this morning?
Quite honestly, I mean, you know, going back to the last episode, Nick, I jokingly said Rick should have been arrested after his game managing.
Yeah,
but honestly, I didn't think anything would happen. I thought with this organization, the way it goes, you know, they took a step. I'm not sure about this. You might be able to remind me how many more years Ricky had on his deal, because they just re-upped him like quietly.
One more, I believe.
One more. Okay, so it's very un-Sox-like. I could have seen them saying,
yeah,
you know, we would like Ricky to do this better. We're going to talk about this. We've talked about maybe this, or you know, Ricky comes back and says, well, I've done some self-scouting and I wouldn't do that again. But yeah, so I was quite shocked that they decided to make this change now. The Don Cooper news didn't really shock me. I thought, you know, as I mentioned to you in the pre-show meeting that we just had, that, you know, Nick, I for those of you that don't know, I've been in the beer business for 14 years. All beer has a shelf life. Okay. It has a pull date on it.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, back in my old selling to bars days, when a keg of beer was out of code and it had the date stamped on it, you had more beer left and you didn't want to lose that, you just take rubbing alcohol and rub the date off of it. And then it was perfectly fine. So I think that's what the Sox have been doing with Ricky Renteria for a long time. They've been taking the rubbing alcohol and just rubbing the date off of them. We're going to get another couple years out of old Don Cooper. So, So anyway, was not surprised about Coop. A little bit surprised, not because of he earned another year, but just because I felt it was very un-Sox-like to dismiss him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The Cooper thing, I feel like, has been a long time coming, and things we've been hearing over the last few years of where some of our young guns have been seeking advice and help as they've tried to reshape their define their motion. It doesn't sound like it's coming from Cooper. It's coming from college coaches, from inside the family, maybe. You know, Charlotte, you know, somewhere else in the organization, I don't hear a lot of love for Cooper. And you and I talked about, after Giolito's no-hitter, Giolito spent quite a bit of time speaking about Renteria and speaking about the faith that Renteria had in him going back to his struggles in 2018. Didn't say a damn thing about Don Cooper in that post-game presser. And that was alarming. And you and I both talked about that. There were other things going into it, but, you know, the lack of credit that Cooper's been given the last couple of years, you can't dismiss what he's done for this organization, but lately and where we want to go forward, he's not the guy.
And talking about Giolito, I mean, again, he made it a point to have to go back to his high school coach to get, get his, you know, shorten up his arm, you know, motion and his wind up and not be so long. And he went back to that rather than, you know, working with the pitching coach. And I think that's very telling when your ace of your staff doesn't trust the pitching coach to point him in the right direction.
Yeah. You're looking at guys that really pay attention to spin rates and to, I mean, I'm not saying that Cooper is, you know, completely anti metrics when it comes to pitching. I feel like he has had to adapt, and that's what the organization has wanted. I actually, I shared this way back in the winter, this past Sox Fest, and got a chance to talk with him for a little bit. And just, he was very open to talking with fans, and I was able to ask him a few questions, and he gave me, you know, 5 to 8 minutes. And we were talking about Keuchel, and who, you know, Keuchel's a guy that reminded him a lot of Burley and the way he's going to throw ground balls. And you don't have to throw 99 miles an hour. You know, it's your location. It's keeping hitters off balance. But, you know, with guys like let's say Trevor Bauer, for example, who you and I have both, you know, have got on a wish list, as a lot of people do, of a starting pitcher that could come to the South Side and really change everything. Bauer's a guy that invests a lot of time in metrics, in his spin rate. And he's got people he employs to help him out with that kind of stuff. Not necessarily Bauer solely, but other pitchers that are like that, I just don't see meshing with Cooper as we enter this offseason where we have to get more pitching.
It was astounding to me to realize that he's been with the organization since 1988. I didn't realize how long he's been around. Obviously not the pitching coach that entire time.
Right.
But holy moly, that is a long time with one organization. And you know what? You think about it, Nick, you know, maybe that makes the job even that more attractive to a manager, because think about it. You come into a situation, they said, well, you can do whatever you want with the staff, but your pitching coach is Don Cooper. I think that limits, you know, your potential pool of candidates, quite honestly.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good point. And obviously the manager, the next manager is going to want to have some say, and maybe they bring in a guy that they're familiar with and working with in different organization, different team. And that should be what happens. You know, when Guillen came in 2004, I mean, he brought in Joey Corey, he brought in Harold Baines. You know, he made a lot of different changes with guys, surrounding himself with guys that he's comfortable with, that he could trust going to battle. So, you know, I don't know. It seems like they might be looking. They could, especially with guys coming up through Charlotte and beyond. You know, in terms of, you've got experience with these guys that are up in the bigs. Do you want to extend your relationship highly enough of some of those coaches within the organization? Or is it more of a package deal of the manager we hire, we want them to be able to handpick who they want in that dugout with them, if you know what I mean?
I would say it'll be, if I were to guess, I would say that management will tell, you know, they'll hire somebody and they'll say, not out of courtesy, but we'd recommend you talking to a couple of these guys already in the organization as potential pitching coaches, but ultimately you have the autonomy to pick whoever you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And what a run. Some memorable moments, some memorable arms that have come through the organization that Cooper has seen through. You know, we'd always have to do a whole special show. But he's gone, and that was not a huge surprise to me. That is not a huge surprise. However, the Renteria decision, when I heard there was a presser yesterday, I was hearing, reading some rumors that there was going to be a Hahn press conference today at 11. you know, I thought he was going to unpack some stuff that happened in the season, some injury updates like with Crochet or Madrigal. You know, what are some arms going to be doing this fall, kind of preparing for the upcoming spring training? Boy, that was quite the bomb. But after the last episode and the way we saw how the wild card around went, especially game three and what happened in Cleveland, I think you and I were both questioning, well, maybe this is the guy in Renteria that just gets you a team to a certain point. He takes a group of guys, he gets them primed for the next level, the championship level. And then you have to bring in the championship guy that's going to be there at the parade and maybe multiple parades. But we both, as you mentioned at the beginning of this episode, it's very un-Sox-like to get rid of a guy with money still left in the contract. You don't believe that this was a mutual understanding. I mean, there's no way.
I think that's what you do when you respect a person and what they've done. And they say, listen, we're going to save face for everybody involved. And we'd like it to be a mutual parting, but, and I'm sure it is when they go, well, I don't really have much say in this. So you're going to continue to still have to pay me. So I guess it'll be mutual. I'll just go home. Yeah. But, you know, it's not like, you know, Ricky got dismissed because he lost the locker room. We've talked about that many times. He had the locker room and the guys played hard for him, but it's purely a, you know, right now it's a win or, you know, don't win business. And he didn't win enough and he didn't win when it counted.
It's when it counted. I think I was very happy with the amount of wins that they had this season compared to last. He's been trending in the right direction. Especially the wins have increased with the more tools he was given. Mm-hmm. But in critical, critical moments, when we talk about this a lot and, you know, talk about it with fans all the time, and we hear about the lack of decisions really in managing these days. But when you do have opportunities to make those decisions and you screw up, well, there it's a very short, you know, sample. It's a small sample size. That's it, man. That was your opportunity, and you screwed up. And I think they looked at it like, we have the team now, and we're going to add some pieces this offseason. We're going to continue this, and this is going to be a force for a while. Why play the what if we run into this situation next year game? You know, because I don't like how that went this year. We might as well get a different guy in there from the beginning of this championship run potentially.
And Nick, I think there was no better time for them to showcase what they have as far as an organization goes. Now they have the pick of the litter as far as a coach. Sure. I mean, Hans said it today, and you'll hear it from any general manager of any team. Yeah, we think we're a desirable destination for any free agent or potential head coach or manager.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But there are jobs that are better than other jobs. And this job right now, with the young talent it has, with the talent that's signed for as many years as it is, and the potential arms that are still in the system, that are coming up through the system, and the opportunity we have for free agents to come in. I mean, there's no better time to shop for a manager, and there's no time for a manager to look at this and go, this is a great opportunity right here. I'm going to take it.
So let's talk about the guys that it won't be. And, you listened to the press conference. I read about it. I was running some errands. The next manager of the Chicago White Sox will not be Ozzie Guillen. Surprised about that?
No, honestly, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, the way that it ended, the last time with Ozzy, I can't see it happening. Maybe if Kenny and Rick weren't still here, I could see it happening. But I talked about this with you earlier as well, Nick. It reminds me of the opportunity that the Bulls had a couple of years ago to hire Doug Collins as their head coach. And hire him back. And this was, I can't remember how many years ago. This may have been post Tibbs, and they ended up hiring Doug as a consultant. And a lot of it was because, and it came out that Jerry didn't want to have to go through firing Doug again. Hey, he thought so highly of Doug Collins that he knew eventually he'd have to fire him again, because that's the business of professional sports.
Yeah.
You're a coach, and you're going to, no matter how good you are, eventually you're probably going to be fired or dismissed or let go. And I think that it just, in my little theory here, I think that Jerry didn't in his heart of hearts want to have to fire Ozzie Gann again, because he knew he'd have to, because Ozzie can't get out of his own way because of his mouth. And it's great for TV. Right. And great for a soundbite, but you know, 162 games, three or four seasons of that, eventually he's going to paint himself into a corner and he's going to have to get himself fired. So
it gets tiresome.
Yeah. So I don't think that Jerry wanted to go down that road. And do I think that Ozzie would make a really good manager again and manage this team to success? Of course I do. But I just think that's Jerry's mentality of, I don't want to have to fire this guy again because I think so highly of him.
Yeah, he deserves another chance to manage. He has unbelievable knowledge and experience, and you know, he's got a lot of credentials working for him. His resume is solid, but I feel like this would have been the team for him to get that chance, a team that he has watched develop over the years closely as an analyst, and this year every single game pre and post. And in a world of second chances, and we're going to talk about a couple guys that might get a second chance with the White Sox, why not give a guy you're very familiar with a second chance and say, you know what, it didn't end the way we wanted it to end, but we all knew it had to end at some point. Here's your second chance. You know what I mean?
And Nick, I don't disagree with that. I think that would be, you know, that's all fine. But I just, again, I don't think it was going to happen here. I just, with the way Jerry
And I agree with you, and all this is devil's advocate, because I don't think Oz is the right guy anyway. It would have made for great TV if you're allowed to go watch the game in person in 2021, which we'll see what happens with that. There would have been record sales, not only because the team's going to be outstanding, but because of Ozzie Guillen being back. But if the results aren't there, and he keeps popping his mouth off, and you got to deal with that drama. I you know how I feel about Ozzie. He should have number 13 retired in the rafters and done. He holds a special place in the White Sox history forever. But I just don't think it'd have been the right situation. Another guy that name floated around this afternoon is La Russa. I mean, who's Bob Nightingale talking to? I mean,
Think he's talking. You know, he's talking to. He's talking to the guy that opened up for Tales from the Crypt, because that's the only reason you're getting that. It's like you got Tony La Russa. I mean, dust the man off. I mean.
Yeah.
I could not see that happening again. This would go against what my last theory was. I don't think that Jerry would want to fire Tony again. I mean, you shouldn't have fired him, got rid of him in the first place.
It goes against what Hans said, you know, this morning, with wanting someone that has recent October championship experience. Recent.
Yeah.
I mean, La Russa has done amazing things in his time managing, but. You know, I mean, I don't think La Russa is the answer. I don't think Bruce Bochy is the answer. I don't think Mike Socia is the answer. I don't think Jim Leland is the answer. You know, I mean,
Jimmy Leland, that would be something.
Well, I mean, if you're going back to La Russa,
Where can you go at guaranteed rate to smoke these days? Because he wouldn't be able to do it in the dugout. He'd have to go outside of gate B or whatever. Filter.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Some of those are, I don't know if Socia wants to manage again, but he's got a lot of experience. Bruce Bochy has what, 3 World Series rings, but it's not recent. You know, they don't seem like new age managers if that's the route they're going. And if it's not the route they're going, then why get rid of Cooper? You know, Cooper's yeah, a guy that I think could work well with Socha or with Bruce Bochy.
Yeah. And you know, Gardy's available. I mean, he's no longer, you know, a Tiger. I don't know what that whole thing was about.
I mean, I thought he left for health reasons. Maybe the health reason was I don't want to deal with this team anymore, and I don't want to deal with the rebuild. And but I just don't think Gardenhire's the guy. I mean, what has he ever
done? I don't think so either.
What has any Twins manager ever done in the postseason?
Nothing.
Kelly, are you going to dust off Tom Kelly if he's still alive and bring him over?
Maybe if you dusted them all off, maybe we just
need to get a list of who's alive still. Is Gene Lamont still alive?
This guy here is dead. Oh my god.
That makes the decision even more easier, but I'm still gonna inquire. Still just reach out. You never know. so there's guys that are, you know, I don't think they're even thinking about, and you and I discussed this when we first started talking before we hit record. I think the decision's already made. You know, I think they know who they're looking for.
Yeah. They've got a list in their mind of who, because time is of the essence, right? There's other guys. There's already rumors that.
It's not Steve Cora Stone, is it?
What's that?
Steve Stone's not coming in, is he?
Holy Lord in heaven. That would be.
What they did with Hawk, though? Hawk was so vocal from the broadcast booth. And I think they did this with Dale Talon with the Blackhawks. They're like, oh, you think you know so much? Come on over, come on over into the dugout.
Or let me know, like a challenge? Like, all right, you smarty pants.
Let's get crazy here. You think you
get
know
the
a lot?
Spikes on.
You're the new pitching coach. Deal with it.
And you have to do color. But at the same time,
Yeah, we're cutting edge over here. Up. Everything you thought you knew about a Reinsdorf team, forget about it.
Oh boy! Well, let's just get that silliness out of the way. I think that would be that. Well, I don't think Steve Stone with the time that he takes off during the year for, I'm not sure what reason. Sometimes he doesn't make trips. Sometimes he's not available. I don't think that a Steve Stone. I couldn't see him wanting to give up the lifestyle he has.
I'm being ridiculous, but I think Stone's a reason why this is being done. Stone was very. Oh, yes. I mean, he had some very strong opinions, and the things he didn't say spoke volumes and how he framed it towards the last few weeks of the season. Very critical about how the pitching staff was being used. And I feel like Stone holds a lot of – there's a lot of respect with that dude. And you and I have talked about – I mean, you're just smarter listening to what he has to say. And I feel like they took notice of when he was starting to pop off on social media and on interviews with The Score and Beyond. I feel like he and going back just a couple beats, Guillen's not going to be the manager, but I think he had a lot to do with it.
Said. And Frank too, the three of them combined. Yeah. You know, they kind of like drove the stake into Ricky's heart, and that was. Again, everybody's listening and everybody's watching. Viewership was up, and also you take the beat of the fan base. I mean, the fan base was not at all happy there. I would say there was more people that wanted to fire Ricky than wanted to keep him. So,
well, I'll tell you, last week the Sox sent out a fan survey. I don't know if you got this or not through the email. A barrage of different questions they wanted to know about how you felt about the team, what you want to see changed. And it's kind of strange that after that survey went out, 7 days later, 5 days later, this decision gets made. Who will be the 21st manager of the Chicago White Sox that most likely, and this is the thing, this is a critical hire because you're saying to this person, we expect you to win a championship and multiple championships. When they brought in, I would even say when they brought in Guillen in 2004, it wasn't to win a championship. I think they hoped, but things just materialized out of nowhere. When they brought in Ventura, it was like, can you just be here for a little while till we get our, till we figure things out? He's like, oh, okay, really? Sure, I guess. I'll wear a jersey and I'll just pretend. And then when they brought Renteria in, it was, well, you know, this is a guy in a rebuild. I mean, they spoke very highly of Renteria. They made a lot of comments, especially Han. He's not just, this isn't just a rebuild guy. We expect that this is going to be the guy, you know, on a double-decker bus down Michigan Avenue when we win a title. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, that didn't work out. Now, why didn't it work out? Might not have worked out, just like the Cubs situation. When a guy becomes available, like a Joe Maddon, you made a change. You didn't think Joe Mann was going to be available. Joe Mann was available. The Cubs made a change. Well, a guy like A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora become available, all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. We didn't think that was an option. Now that is an option, and we got to move.
Yeah, and I'm all about it. You know, whatever. A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, their teams were cheating. Oh, my God. I actually talked about this with my daughter the other day. She's 9 years old. God bless her. She loves the game of baseball. And she couldn't understand why people were rooting against Houston. And my father-in-law says, oh, it's because they cheated. And I told her later, I said, every team in baseball at some point in their history has cheated in some way, shape, or form, whether you know about it or not know about it. Now, I'm not saying it's right. Obviously, AJ didn't have the wherewithal to get his players to stop, or he had just allowed it to happen. But that's in the past. He's a good manager, and good managers that have championship pedigrees. And, oh, by the way, has a connection to your 1B pitcher or 1A pitcher. I think that's someone you look at right now today.
It sure seems like the Sox have been modeling themselves after the Houston Astros. And, you know, from what you read about with the cheating scandal, it sounds like Cora was the guy that orchestrated a lot of it, that put it together. Hinch, you know, kind of was just asleep at the wheel, perhaps, but didn't go ahead and stop it. I don't like that it went down, but you were right. This is the sports where cheating has been going on, you know, where the Black Sox scandal. This has been happening for 100 years and plus.
Yeah.
And it's been happening in eras that you and I grew up on with steroids. And we've brought in cheaters from Canseco to Cabrera, from other players that have been known to be cheating. So, I don't know. If we're living in a world of second chances in a city that's known as one of the most corrupt political cities known to man, I think you give somebody a second chance. And I think A.J. Hinch is their guy. I really do.
Yeah. You know what? I'm telling you, man, the cheating thing just does not resonate as much with me as it does with other people that want to, you know, put these guys up on a cross and that's it for their lives. It's baseball. You know what? In another year or less than a year, there'll be another thing that comes out. Somebody cheated about something or did this or whatever it is. But it's just that's what happens. And it's because there's human beings in play here and they're imperfect.
And there's millions
they're gonna do things wrong.
I don't know. Sandy Alomar Jr. is another name that, you know, we have talked about and it's floated around. He doesn't have the championship, the October resume that Han has mentioned, but smart baseball guy. He's been in the Sox organization. Maybe Cleveland wants to hold on to him in case something seriously happens with Francona. And Francona's like, you know what? I thought I'd be able to come back, but health-wise, I can't.
Yeah,
and Alomar's been in the Cleveland organization as a player and coach for a long, long time. Hinch is a former catcher. He's a Stanford guy. Was a scout with the Padres. He's got several hundred win seasons under his belt with Houston. Been to the World Series twice, won one. Got a relationship with Keuchel. And if the Sox are looking to try to bring in Springer, I don't know. Maybe AJ is the guy. Maybe Hinch is the guy. Poach a couple of Houston guys, you know, during free agency, during the off season. I don't know. I mean, he just seems like it's so analogous to the Joe Maddon situation of you didn't think he was going to become available. He is available. So Ricky, goodbye. And Ricky's getting burned twice in the same situation.
Well, you know, but it wasn't like he wasn't handsomely paid. He made a lot of money to be fired a couple times, and his life will go on whether he wants to manage again somewhere or be a bench
coach. He'll get another opportunity. And I think a place like Detroit might be a great spot for him.
Yeah.
Groom some young players. But he's now got this, he's got this label on him of you're the guy that you're the fixer, man. We just bring you in to fix the situation, get these players playing well, get the chemistry going right, get them, you know, get them ready to go. And then, sorry, but just know you're going to be gone when they're ready.
Yeah.
Cause we're going to bring in the closer, you know, we're going to bring championship guy.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe he's okay with it. I doubt it. He seems like a really competitive dude, and there's no way he went down quietly in this situation.
Yeah. But you know, again, I don't have a lot of, I feel bad for him, I guess, a little bit, but you know, you got to do something you loved and you got a chance and an opportunity. You didn't hold up your end of the bargain 100%. So, and if that's your philosophy, if that's the way we've seen his philosophy play out, the way he's put together lineups, my question now is, what will Sox Twitter do on a daily basis, not complaining about the lineup?
Yeah, there you go, man.
I'm really worried about some tweeters out there and what they're going to do with their days.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing with, you know, look, when things aren't going right, it's fire Nagy, you know, it's fire Quinville. It's and there's going to be a fire Donovan when the Bulls aren't playing the way they should be playing. It's a real reactionary. And for most of the season, and the most of Ricky's tenure, when I would hear fire Ricky stuff, I just thought it was so short-sighted. Mm-hmm. But the Cleveland series and leading up to the, you know, even the Cubs series, but the game 2 and 3 of the wild card series against Oakland really galvanized. If this is what you're getting from him when it matters, when push comes to shove, and there's a lot at stake, like a division with the Cleveland series, and with the advancement of the next round of the playoffs, which we should have advanced. Damn, we should have advanced. If that's what you're getting from him when it matters, well, you've seen enough, right?
You can't wait around. The window right now, I mean, you're not going to be the Atlanta Braves of the 90s where you're just going to go to playoffs, you know, 13 years.
And Bobby Cox, there's another name. There's another name that we haven't talked about.
Oh, my gosh.
it's like a
5-year window really before things change with free agency these days, and you know the way players seem to get injured so much more frequently. You're just more aware of it or what, but it's the window's so short, and you can't give these guys such a long leash where you go, oh well, he made a mistake last year, next time I'm sure it'll get better, and it's like, oh, it was still much of the same, but we still like him, so we're going to keep him around. You don't have time for that anymore. It's like our window is now, it's open. We cannot sit around. You've already shown us everything we need to know about you as a manager. Thank you for your service. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
If in game 3, and this is a huge hypothetical, if in game 3, you know, Mazzara, instead of striking out at the end of the game, goes deep and the Sox tie it or end up taking the lead, And we advance and we go to the next round, does Ricky stay manager?
I think it's harder. It would have been harder and harder for him as they went along. It would have been harder for the Sox to dismiss him. You know, so maybe, you know, this is a weird thought. Maybe in the back of Han's mind, it's all right. Well, if we don't win, at least that is exactly what I need to have happen, because I need a different manager. And I know that. But if he keeps winning, I can't justify getting rid of this guy. So he's probably in a win-win situation, thinking to myself, you know, if I lose, I can justify getting rid of him. I'm not going to say it publicly, but that's the reason why. And if they win, I'm just kind of still playing with house money, I suppose.
Absolutely. That's a good way of looking at it. I agree. Yeah.
So again, and who knows, Nick, in this world, in this day and age, there have been plenty of coaches and managers have gone deep in playoffs and, you know, whatever they've done, and all of a sudden they get the axe for whatever reason. So it wouldn't have been inconceivable, but it would have, I think it would have been tougher.
we think about it and we say, how, why are they getting the axe? And we don't know what happens behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. We don't know the philosophy necessarily with the with Sox brass. And I was sticking up for Ricky for a while because I really thought Sox brass was saying to him, these are the guys I want you to play. Keep putting Mazzara out there. Keep batting Edwin fourth, even though he's hitting 150-something.
Yeah.
This is how I want you to manage game three with the bullpen. I don't necessarily think Sox brass in a front office has that much pull necessarily with this organization. I think they trusted Ricky, but I also thought they tried to push his hand with certain guys. Now, after this firing, I'm believing that it was Ricky who decided to keep putting Mazzara out, when he had their better options in Engel, really.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, even Han talked about it today. You know, somebody asked him what's on your wish list, and it's the same thing as it was, I think, last year. And it's a DH, a right fielder, and starting pitching. And you look at the mm-hmm. DH and the right fielder that got the majority of the run all year. And again, to a tune of a 10 games over 500 and to the tune of making the playoffs. But it could have been so much more. And it's unfortunate that it kept coming down to it. And you know, I think ultimately it might have been Ricky's undoing. And the way I think it was more, though, honestly, yeah. Nick, I think it was the way he handled the pitching staff more than
yes.
the lineup. Yeah. And it's been documented. I don't understand the Rodon yeah. in Cleveland. I don't yeah. understand Rodon in Oakland. I just didn't understand yeah. a lot of it.
Well, what he said was the Cleveland thing was, you know, I'd like to figure out Rodon now before we get to the playoffs. I'd rather happen now than in the postseason. Yet you went back to Rodon in the postseason after seeing what happened in Cleveland. You know,
to figure it out. He obviously didn't wasn't watching yeah. that inning. So,
yeah. So you and I both believe that this hire is going to happen quickly. I don't think they're looking at anybody that's in the postseason right now. I feel like this is obviously it has to happen sooner rather than later because you want, I think, this shoe to drop. So I think players in free agency have an idea of what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. And Han talked a lot about that too today, Nick, as far as what the complexities of free agency this year will be with, you know, with baseball and business,
yeah.
you know, being different and yeah. than it ever has with, you know, the losses that every team has had to deal with this year. So it'll be a very interesting year as far as free agency goes and the deals that people are going to get. And I mean, obviously the pandemic's going to have a lot to play in it and whether we're going to have fans in the stands again next year.
Absolutely. We're going to start wrapping up, but I want your short list guys that you are hoping maybe they bring in, or just, you can flat out just tell me the guy, if you know that guy of who you want managing the Sox in 2021.
I'll say this just because I think Cora is so destined to go back to the Red Sox. I don't think that's happening. I'll put it as, I mean, it's out there already. And we talked about it. AJ Hinch would be number one for me. That's the guy I want. That's the guy that I think it seems like they've already identified. If you're just kind of reading the tea leaves about how this is all playing out, I think they've identified he's the guy. Rick talked a lot about recent playoff success and World Series success and didn't necessarily have to have managerial experience, but everything that Rick said and didn't say today would make me believe that AJ Hinch is the guy that they are targeting. I'd also be happy if it was a Sandy Alomar. I'm good with that. That seems like a guy to me. Cleveland didn't have any business being where they were, and Sandy yeah. got them in position to, you know, where they were especially at the end of the year.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I got a lot of respect for what he did, and obviously both former catchers and former yes. catchers make the best managers in my opinion. So. That that would be my short list, and Hinch, just because of the experience, would be my number one.
Yeah, I agree. Going off of what Han said, and if you listen to what he said, and if he's true to his word, it does sound someone like AJ Hinch. And I would like, I think Sandy Alomar Jr. is going to make an outstanding manager when he gets the opportunity. And I say Sandy Alomar Jr. because, you know, these managers like Dave Martinez, who won the World Series with the Nationals last year, it's like these good managers start off as bench coaches. Alex Cora was AJ Hinch's bench coach, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And this happens, you know, guys are on the bench, they're understanding the game, and then they like get that shot, and they just, man, they spread their wings. And that's what I see of Sandy Alomar Jr. It's like, well, just give him the shot, man. And I think he's going to take your team far. But he doesn't have October experience. So are you this has to be a slam dunk. This hire has to be a slam dunk. I don't think you can go into the hire saying, well, we're going to give him a shot. No, no, no. That was in 2017. That should have been your Sandy Alomar Jr. hire in 2017. Well, let's take a shot on a guy and see how he develops some of our players. I think right now you've got the development. You've got the team to ready to make a run. You didn't have to be a proven leader and a proven winner. So for it's going to be AJ.
I thought it was very telling today, too, that Dallas Keuchel tweeted.
Yeah.
Big things coming for the Sox.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking, you know, I don't know, just some interesting things that have happened today. And again, that would be who I would target if it's someone like Tony La Russa. Holy Lord,
we have another episode on our hands though, sooner rather than later for a bunch of different reasons.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Well, as always, sir, outstanding to talk with you. Talk White Sox and a day we didn't think we were going to be talking White Sox, but here it is. And you never know. We might be back in the next couple days. But we definitely have got more off-season episodes coming your way, folks. We've got our own off-season wish lists of some folks we'd like to see wearing the black and white. And hopefully we get to gush over a Jose Abreu MVP award for the 2020 season. So a lot going on all year round, 365 with Good Guys Talk Back. Pat, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you hopefully very soon, sir.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it.
All right, buddy. Find us on Twitter, folks, at Good Guys TV. Find us on Facebook at our Facebook page, Good Guys Talk Back. This is everything Chicago White Sox, Blue Collar Fan Centric. For Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox.